G'day mates, it's B-Buster here, whom you might know from my eponymous YouTube channel. I'm a horror aficionado and host of the Be Scared podcast, where I collect stories from all over the world about inexplicable events, brief brushes with death, and the eeriest encounters with real-life monsters. Each week, I tell the allegedly true stories that raise the hairs on your arms and keep you looking over your shoulder as you walk alone at night, right here on the Be Scared podcast. If you're always on the hunt for new scary stories to get your horror fix, you definitely don't want to miss out on this. So pause what you're listening to right now and go subscribe to Be Scared on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss a single episode. Tune in with us to be creeped out, be spooked, and be scared.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh,
well, you know, I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Ansh. Joining me on the show, we got just me, y'all. We got a and Q's in here, but I'm just the only one in the studio. Yeah. What up, Q?
Yo, we here. What's up?
Yep. Nothing much. K the GOAT, the great. Q, I want to actually get your thoughts on K Cunningham in a little bit. But right. Shelton J will be joining us via Zoom momentarily. He's on his way to the crib. And FIFO's running late as well. So he said he'll be here around 10-ish. Well, while we were setting up Q, you were talking about the Eagles and Howie Roseman. So I want to kind of give you the floor, man, and let you just basically say what you were telling me, but just for everybody else to hear as well.
Yeah, man. It's coming back to the NFL. Preseason is happening right now. The Eagles are playing. I think we're playing the Steelers right now. Last time I checked, we was up 16-7, which is cool. But that don't absolve Howie Roseman, and that doesn't absolve bad GMs like Howie Roseman. As an Eagles fan, I've been battered and abused for years. Like, the 2018 season, that was like, I'm good for the rest of my life. So don't get me wrong when I'm you know, bashing this team. Look, man, as an Eagles fan, I've been battered and abused, left for dead, all kind of shit. So this is not me saying that I expect anything more after that championship. Cause I'm good. Trust me. I got my shit. The other Eagles fans are still like, oh, we need to get we got one. We barely got that one. So I'm fine. But in terms of Howie Roseman, the fact that he has a job still in Philadelphia, it just is utterly ridiculous. I'm looking at our first round pick, Jalen Reagor, can't even catch the ball. He's out of shape. And it's just a terrible situation once again, where we overreach on draft picks. The fans go through this cycle every year, overreach on a draft pick, the draft pick underperforms. Then when we're terrible during the season, and I'm saying to the people who are, you know, believing that Howie Roseman is just give him more time, just let him cook. And I'm telling them, look, this guy has had years to get it right. He had a Cinderella season. And now we are in a situation where you have Jalen Hurts as your QB. You got, you know, Devontae Smith as your number one. I don't believe in him. I don't. And I got to wait to see all of these guys inevitably turn into dudes that I know are not going to be what we were supposed to go for. When we had guys like Justin Jefferson on the board, when we had, you know, overreaching for Hurts in the second round, when he was going to be there probably in the third. Or overreaching for Jalen Reagor in the first, when he was going to probably be there in the fourth, maybe. He was the worst-rated wide receiver in the first round. And we draft him in the top 20? Like, Howie Roseman and all the fans who are so deluded with a lack of understanding talent in the NFL, it's going to be the death of this franchise. And it has already basically killed the franchise, in my opinion, because we've already cleaned the cupboard. We already got rested on our laurels from that Cinderella season. And we got old, we got hurt, we paid guys contracts we shouldn't have, and now we took the wrong guy. So now we kind of fucked on both ends, on the youth end and on the veteran side.
You don't like Devontae Smith so far?
I don't see it for him. I don't see that. I think people are gonna, you know, crucify. Oh my God! But I don't see that. Howie Roseman has not shown me any aptitude to drafting wide receivers. JJ Arcega-Whiteside over DK Metcalf is insane. Like, the fact that we had an offer for Hopkins, who went to Arizona. Hopkins was on the table. We needed to go get a wide receiver for Carson Wentz at the time. And Howie Roseman said, oh, no, we can't do that because we need to keep our first-round pick to draft Jalen Reagor. What kind of strategy, what kind of war room is that? And that shows you that the war room is Howie. The war room is all about Howie. You've seen it last year when the guy gave him a fist bump reluctantly because Howie said, oh, this is a great pick, right? He's like, man, I guess. Because there's better guys. Howie don't know how to draft. But that's just, you know, that's just been the situation here for as long as Howie's been the guy in the war room. And we're seeing it now.
You know, it's crazy because, like, I think oftentimes when we get into our debates with our fellow crew members, our colleagues, you know, oftentimes there are agendas, mm-hmm. there's personal feelings and emotions, and sometimes mm-hmm. I think we just kind of go over the evidence that we see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we use that to kind of either take us to a conclusion or we have a thesis and then we basically evaluate or, you know, use the scientific method. So a lot of things that we were highlighting and saying last year, you know, eventually comes up true. You know, let's take Jalen Hurts, for example. You know, and Carson Wentz, for example, and how they basically were the same guys. Just one just ran over the field a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They all still lost, but one just looked a little bit better doing it because he was a little bit more mobile behind that line. Now, what they're saying that he may not even be the starter this year.
Yep.
So it's like all of this hype that he was getting. Jalen Hurts needs to start. Jalen Hurts can play. Jalen Hurts can do this. Even on ESPN, you know, Matt was a guy that pushed a lot for Jalen Hurts because he had a thing out for Carson Wentz. He just didn't like Carson Wentz. He went from loving him to hating him. And then it was like Jalen Hurts should play. Jalen Hurts go out there and, you know, do a couple whoop, whoop, whoop. And then all of a sudden he falls in love with the guy. The other guy was still losing games. And, you know, and here we are now. It's showing that the guy may or may not be able to play. Now, everybody watching the show knows that, you know, I'm always rooting for black quarterbacks, but I'm not going to let that impact what I see on the field. Like, you know, it's the same thing like we were doing with Lamar Jackson. Like, we were being objective in our critiques and criticism of Lamar Jackson while still rooting for him at the same time. But mm-hmm. we can't ignore that this guy wasn't progressing.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. we go back to the Eagles, and you've been kind of using your inside knowledge and resources and stuff because you're connected to the team to kind of say, here's what I'm hearing and here's what I'm seeing, and mm-hmm. this is the source of the problem. Mm-hmm. Here we are.
Mm-hmm. I got homies who write, are reporters, and are around the team, and they just tell me the real. Like, you know, obviously I can't get, like, crazy information like that, but they'll just hit me like, yo, so-and-so is out the building in 12 months. And it happens every time. So I trust my sources. This is not my Chris Broussard moment, but I'm just telling y'all, I trust my sources. So to be able to at least tell y'all Carson Wentz is done in Philly, or to be able to tell y'all Howie Roseman is on a short leash now. And he is on a short leash, but looking at guys like Quez Watkins, just for the Eagles fans in the chat, I'm glad he's good. That's cool. And whoever's going to be good is going to be good, and we'll see. But I just don't like the draft capital that is spent every year to take mediocre people. And I'm tired of this divide between black and white Philly sports media. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of that because they discredit the knowledge and understanding from black sports fans in Philly. And the white sports media has, like, this hold over the entire opinion of what Philly sports is. When it's like, for years, black fans have been saying, Roseman is trash. get him out. And then white fans, aided by guys like Dave Spadaro and the team's official media team and whatnot, they come in and do propaganda like, oh, this pick that we all didn't like is doing really good and showing some promise. Howie Roseman, after having a history of drafting guys who are injured, get injured, have bad injury histories, goes and drafts an Alabama lineman who's coming off of two ACL tears. And that was in, like, I think, what, the third or fourth round, if I'm please don't get me wrong. It's one of those rounds, very early round, where we could have gotten a wide receiver, a corner, defensive end that we need, a linebacker that is not even on the team. We didn't have a linebacker last year. We did not have a linebacker on the roster last year. That's how bad the team was. But they told you, Carson Wentz. So with Howie Roseman doing all that, and for him to draft that guy again, mm-hmm. They were in the media saying, this is a great pickup. The Eagles have done this and that, and they are ensuring they're betting on the upside. What has Howie Roseman done to show any idea of he knows how to bet on upside? When has he ever gone for upside in his work? So where is this cachet that he's supposed to be able to pull out? Be like, you know, trust me, y'all, I have a track record. Where is the track record? There is none. And that just shows you that the GMs and all this sports media stuff, it's all about relationships. And it's all about bringing up certain players' value, decreasing certain players' value. Dennis Schroeder got spanked by the media. They did that for a reason, not to go on a tangent, but that's what I'm saying. Howie Roseman plays games in the media, and that's why Carson Wentz is not in Philly no more. He's hurt, and that's why Jalen Hurts is probably going to end up getting traded for Deshaun Watson. So here's what it is.
I just looked. I didn't even know preseason started tonight.
Yep.
So that's kind of wild. I've been just I don't know, man. It's football is football. The NFL is the NFL. So, which is weird because we're supposed to be doing fantasy football this year. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that go. So what do you think about Cade Cunningham? Have you caught his summer league games?
I like Cade. I think he has a really he's versatile. He's versatile as fuck. Looking at his handle, he probably needs to get just a little bit tighter. If he's going to be able to handle the ball the way that he wants to, if he's going to be the number one creator for Detroit's offense. I think that defensive potential is there for him. He has good measurements. They say he's a good leader. He's a good locker room guy. So that's already good for him in terms of coming into the league, being able to see him on the sidelines when he's, you know, bringing guys up like, yeah, shoot that. Yo, that's you. That's you. Like, yo, you know what I mean? I like to see that from a leader. So I see a lot in Cade. I think that he has a little bit of Ben Simmons in him, the way that he handles the ball, which reminds me of if Ben had a jumper, it could look similar to that, not off the bounce, but more so on catch and shoot, which is interesting. But I really like Cade Cunningham, man. Detroit, I've been saying for, I think, last month now that them and Charlotte, they could run the late 2020s for the East. Very, very, very plausibly. Them in Atlanta.
Damn, you Charlotte? You got Charlotte like that?
I think Charlotte, if they make a couple moves, a couple shrewd moves, Detroit makes a couple shrewd moves, they stay viable in the free agency, they stay viable in the big trade move. Don't go for the bullshit contract like sign Andre Drummond to $80 million Charlotte if he has a good season with us. Don't do that. I mean, not saying don't do that because I love man's money, but at the end of the day, if you want to win, I think that you should stay viable in a certain way that Boston was able to when they had their dual strategy of let's build for picks that we can get from the Brooklyn deal while also competing with Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, find the diamonds in the rough, pay guys that we need to complete the team when it's time. I think Detroit can play that kind of strategy. I think that Charlotte can play that kind of strategy. And, maybe by like 2025, 2026, we're looking at Detroit top 5 seed, top 4 seed, Charlotte top 5 seed. That's not crazy to think. They just got to play their cards right.
Charlotte off the strength of LaMelo?
Charlotte off the strength of LaMelo, and I think what LaMelo is going to bring to that city. I think LaMelo is going to be what Cam was for the Hornets. You know what I mean? For what he was for the Panthers. In the way where it's just – he brings a certain swag to it where it's like, I want to go to Charlotte and play with Brett. Like, you know what I mean? I can see LaMelo being a popular guy in the league during All-Star weekend type stuff and being, like, you know, promoted to a point where, you know, he, you know, him and Puma and MJ, that whole machine behind him, I don't see it as far-fetched to think a guy who everyone thinks should go to LA and Brooklyn decides one year, I'm going to go play with LaMelo and another guy if they can draft one or two more guys. Because Book Knight, they drafted, is a dog. Like, his handle is incredible. PJ Washington, rest in peace to his bank account and the whole Britney situation. But regardless, that nigga can play. I think Gordon Hayward, I think that he's a good two-year rental again. They paid him all that money, but they'll probably move him in 2 years. So you can max him. Rozier is still coming up. Yeah, man, they got some shit. And Miles Bridges is only going to get better. So if they can just play their cards right, them, Detroit, with Jeremy Grant, all those guys, Killian Hayes, they have a nice little five on both sides.
Kawhi got a 4-year, $176 million deal with the Clippers. It also includes a player option. I think part of the reason why Kawhi went was there really wasn't a lot of options on the table for him, honestly. So it made sense to go back to the Clippers. But I wonder, he has 4 years to win a title there. But I don't see a path to him winning the title there. Because for the first 2 years that team was assembled, they had a lot of talent on that team, and it didn't pan out. So I'm wondering if they will still be able to start to assimilate that talent, you know, in the next 4 years, or will these guys just decide to move on once they realize that we can't sneak in a ring the way they were trying to sneak in a ring. They may try to go to Brooklyn for that, and that didn't work out for the players in Brooklyn. Do you think in 4 years that he can actually pull one off with the Clippers?
No, I think that it's all she wrote. I think the Clippers run was last year and the year before then. I think that was their window, and they missed it because, number one, I'm not trying to speak ill of anybody, so no disrespect to anybody, but I do believe that Kawhi Leonard's knees are shot. I believe Kawhi Leonard has degenerative knees, as we've been seeing reported, floated around for the last 2-3 years now, with all this load management stuff. This is not normal. This is not San Antonio. Let me rest you during a back-to-back against, below 500 team. This is, we're going, you know, I need to rest during the season for maintenance of my knees. I need to be able to make sure that the way that my knees are constructed stays in that possible shape for the playoff stretch. That's not normal for, you know, an athlete that is getting this kind of money. I think that you look at the situations with, like, Trez and Lou departing, Doc departing. The writing's on the wall that Paul George is above being a second fiddle, and I think it just might be an L.A. thing. Not above it in the sense, Ken, that, damn, like, Paul George needs to go be the lead guy on the Knicks right now. No, I'm not saying that. But I think that Paul George is starting to think, yo, bro, when you put the ball in my hands, I do more for the team than Kawhi's done.
Yep.
With, you know what I mean? So why can't I have this team to myself? Why, you know what I mean? Why can't I go be the second guy next to, you know, this equal star of my value who's also available, is what I believe will start to become the thing. Especially if Kawhi misses another year or misses another 2 years, because he's already coming back next year around April, around March, and then maybe March, April, May, and then if that. So if he misses next year, if he misses most of next year, that's 1 year off that 4-year deal. And what happens if he, you know, misses like 3-4 months one of these years in the 4-year contract? That'll be damn near 2 years of Kawhi that did not happen. If you get a ring, it all doesn't matter. But I don't think they have the prerequisite parts around them. I think that the West is getting tougher as Kawhi and PG are getting older.
Yes, yeah, it's interesting because I think, you know, I do agree with you in terms of his health. And I do think that he's almost guaranteed to miss a year or two as he gets older. You know, and I think, and I agree with Steven and Marty, like last year was probably their best shot, you know, especially once the Lakers went out, you know, this thing was wide open and Kawhi got hurt. And we know how Kawhi is when it comes to his injuries. Like he takes this stuff very seriously, you know, as he should. And because the NFL ain't going to, I mean, the NBA ain't going to take care of you like that. So I think he did a good job of staying in L.A., locking up the money. And then he's probably going to cruise his way for the rest of his career, you know, especially for the rest of the 4 years, unless he leans on Paul George to get it done. But Reggie's gone, and I think they're going to start losing more and more talent. So now we're going to look at Ty Lue and be like, okay, are you able to still win when you are starting to lose talent? He did a good job last year, but you had a lot of talent on that team. So all you have to do is just kind of mix and match the pieces and mentally get them ready. And then that was it. So, you know, we'll see. But I agree with you. I think the West is getting tougher. Donnie Mitch is only going to get better. Luka is only going to get better. Never. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, what do you do? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. We'll see. Pat Bev. I agree, man.
Man, I don't know. Cause you know, you know, that might lead us to our next topic if you wanted to get into it. By the way, send super chats, y'all. We'll answer them anytime. But when it comes to, you know, the ex-Clippers coach, we were having a discussion in the chat earlier with Nick. And I think it's a good, you know, this topic to bring up because everyone wants to talk about player relationships. Like we're talking about Kawhi, and the reason why he signed is because he trusts the Clippers. The reason why he signed is because they give him the most perks. They you know, they give him, you know, they kiss his ass as they should. Yeah. You know what I mean? But on the flip side, in the Eastern Conference, there's a situation I think that's bubbled over with the ex-Clippers coach with Doc Rivers, and a player who feels as though he's not being coddled. He's not being, you know, taken care of anymore. He's not being trusted anymore. He's not being given the red carpet. And that's Ben Simmons. And it was Nick who brought up, wasn't Doc brought to Philly to, you know, help and grow these players and grow these talents? And it was responding to Ben Simmons not responding to anyone's calls anymore. He's not talking to Joel. He's not responding to Doc Rivers' calls. He's not talking to Daryl Morey anymore. And that's cool. But to me, that's not indicative of any failure on Doc Rivers' part. We were talking about Doc, you know, the way that he threw him under the bus after Game 7 was unexcused. And it's like, I don't even really think Doc threw him under the bus. And number two, I don't think that anyone should have any sympathy even if he did throw him under the bus.
Right.
Because I'm at this point where, once again, we've been saying for the longest time on one side of Philly sports media or Philly sports fandom that Ben Simmons is not it. Trade him while his value is high right now. I said that 2 years ago. I'm on record. Y'all can check the receipts. I said at the beginning of the season, right before, I said, I don't think it's going to happen. Half-court offense. And what happened? Right on cue, half-court offense. Now, no pun intended, by the way. But right on cue, half-court offense, and Ben Simmons can't execute. He's passing up dunks. So then Doc Rivers goes on and says, you know what? I can't answer that question right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's real. When they ask him, Doc, is Ben Simmons a championship point guard that you think you can win it with? At this point, I can't answer that right now. That's real, though. Everyone wants everyone to be real, and so, you know, let's forget all the narratives and whatnot. But when somebody says a real emotion, like, yo, this dude does not work on his game. Yo, this dude does not shoot the ball. What else am I supposed to say? I don't know right now. So maybe he can be if we have a discussion and sit down, but Ben Simmons doesn't want to sit down. So I have to put it on Ben. And I can't say that Doc Rivers didn't do his job. Ken, he was a number one seed. He was a number one seed. And he got an MVP-type year out of Embiid. He elevated almost every single one of our role players into their best seasons. But Ben Simmons, who every year is the common denominator of what is clunky about this offense, is the fact that you're in the dunker spot and Joel Embiid is getting double-teamed. You won't shoot the ball. So it doesn't matter what Tobias does. It doesn't matter what Seth Curry does. It doesn't matter. It's Ben. So as Sixers fans, we've been saying, bro, it's not on Doc. Any of these weirdo fans talking about Doc gotta go, Doc gotta go. Doc is not a top nine, top eight coach, but who cares? We just have Brett Brown. It's when you come in from the projects and you living in a little bit of better of a situation, you ain't gonna complain. Brett Brown was poverty. We basically got a house now with this nigga Doc. I'm cool. Like, bro, just fucking do what you do. That's kind of where I'm at now, you know?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that I was – so Nick has a thing. He's been pushing this agenda about Doc Rivers since he got on the show. Real quick before I get into that, I want to say, okay, I did not know Reggie Jackson resigned. Thank you, guys. Chat's always holding it down. So appreciate that because I did see something where he left. Yeah. So cool. I'm actually looking forward to see what he does next year. As a Clipper, now that he will more than likely have the starting job. So that'll be interesting. So, yeah. So thank you guys for that. And then the last Onyx, how do you rate Pelinka as a GM? You know what? Let's answer that real quick, and then I'll get into my take on the whole Ben Simmons situation. What do you think? You know what? Pelinka as a GM. I'm happy for Laker fans, even though we have a Laker fan in our midst, Manny, who hates every move Pelinka has made, even though it brought them a championship. But I have to say that this man has managed to somehow find a way to put talent on the court, surrounded by first getting AD and then turning around and getting Russell Westbrook for the pieces that he sent away. So I think he's actually has done a great job of turning nothing into something, to be honest, because, you know, every time he would get these players and the money will it tight, he finds a way to put quality talent around him. He did it last year. LeBron and AD got hurt, in the middle of the year, and, you know, they struggled and lost the chemistry. But if they were to stay healthy, they probably would have repeated last year. Mm-hmm. So he did it again last year with all of the people he signed. And then this year, he just basically overhauled the team and brought in a lot of quality players once again. And he did all of this by getting rid of essentially two players, mm-hmm. Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. Mm-hmm. So it's incredible what he's done. And the fact that he got a ring out of that, you know, validates the moves. You can't say that they haven't. So, but the only thing that I wish is that I hate that Magic Johnson left and let Pelinka come in and do the job. Because I think Magic Johnson could have done an equally good job, if not better, because he's an NBA player and got a lot of contacts. And Pelinka does have the Kobe connections. And I know that goes a long way. But you know, I just would have wanted to see a brother do what he did. But, you know, I think he's done a great job.
I agree. I'll say he's been, if I can grade him, a B plus. I think mm-hmm. B plus is right where he deserves to be. Because it's something like, to me, last season didn't have to happen. I think that letting go of Dwight and JaVale McGee are two miscalculations. Very, very bad miscalculations that added up into small things. It was like a death by a thousand cuts losing those guys. Cause you saw the loss of inside presence, you saw a loss of interior defense, you saw a loss of the above the rim play that LeBron was able to get easy assists and, you know, expand the court for, you know, him for driving lanes and whatnot. So I give him a B plus. Signings like Drummond and stuff. This is not against Drummond, but I just don't like that pickup. I don't like certain things like letting Rajon go. But, you know, he's done great moves on the other side. But the reason why I got to give him the B-plus and not the A is because, bro, you're in L.A. Like, ain't nobody going to take, you know, from any GM, they going to go to L.A. It could have been me in that suit saying, hey, Carmelo, LeBron wants you to come. Yeah, of course I'm coming. Like, bro, it's L.A. It's the Lakers. Certain names.
Melo been waiting on that call, bro.
Been waiting. You know what I mean? It's like saying, yo, what does Sean Marks deserve as a grade now? I mean, Sean Marks done great. But any signings that happen in Brooklyn right now, it's on the curb because it's like, man, what are you talking about? It's Brooklyn right now. Like, what? You know what I mean? But they've done good to get to this position. So I give him a B+.
Yeah, no, it's a good recovery, man. He got shitted on heavy.
Yep.
You know, early on, and you know, he came back. So good for him. So back to Ben Simmons. So so Nick has an agenda. He knows it. I've told him that, and I've told him on the show. He just has a thing out against Doc Rivers. He doesn't need any more to throw at Doc Rivers because the man blew a 2-1 lead and he lost a game 7 at home. Like, that take he has is pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered. So there's this whole Doc ain't shit thing is you know, his take is validated. Mm-hmm. So when you look at trying to assign even more to him and trying to use Ben Simmons as a means to do that, I feel like it's unnecessary. And Doc shouldn't have to own that. This is on Ben. And once again, we're trying to remove responsibility from Ben Simmons and place it on someone else. And at this point in his career, that is no longer acceptable. We had Brett Brown, and we saw what happened with him. And then Doc Rivers come in, and Doc Rivers not only Doc Rivers embraced Ben Simmons for who he is and said, you know, I just want Ben to be Ben. Ben mm-hmm. get in the playoffs, game 7, go up for a two-handed, one-handed dunk, and he passes the ball. Yeah. Like, that is what probably pissed Doc Rivers off, and it pissed everybody else off on that team. That is unacceptable. And to say that, and I don't care if you say, I'm not saying this 100% on Ben. You don't have to qualify that because we know we're on Doc. Because we know you're not saying this 100%. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, even assigning him a little bit, you know, I don't think is fair to Doc. Because Doc rolled with Ben Simmons, bro. Like, mm-hmm. all the way to game 7.
Yep.
He rolled with this guy, had this guy's back.
He deflected every single attack from the reporters. All year. So, Doc, do you think that it's a problem come playoffs? I'm just worried about Ben being aggressive. I'm just worried about Ben being himself. And what happens? He wasn't aggressive. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he wasn't himself. He shied away in the playoffs. He became a shell of himself. And you know what? We saw this in, when Brett Brown was there. We saw this man score, what, 1 point in the playoffs?
We
have plenty of evidence of this being a bit Ben Simmons problem. Now, this guy, and he got me. Like, he'll go out and there's video of him now, him and Rajon Rondo shooting threes and nothing but net and stuff like that.
I ain't trying to see that.
Yeah. Anymore. Like, okay, so we can see you doing it in practice then, but that doesn't help anybody. Not at this point.
Bro, it's been 3 seasons, Ken, of this shit. I've seen 3 seasons of Instagram all-star workouts. I don't care no more. Like, bro, the first time it's like, okay, yeah, maybe, yeah. After a while, you're just doing it so that people can get off your ass and be like, oh, you know, at least he's in the gym. That's not real work, bro. Because everyone who's around Ben Simmons says this. The sources around Ben Simmons always say that he's very half-assed with his workouts in terms of his skill conditioning, not his weight training, not, you know, his mobility training. I'm talking about when you get on the court, it's just very light work. It's, you know, all right, let me work on my turnaround. Let me, you know, work on, you know, going full court in a couple dribbles. Let me work on my free throws a little bit. It's not 10,000 shots every day. It's not 5,000 free throws. It's not, yo, I'm going to make this form right. I'm going to work on the mechanics. I'm going to work on my elbow. I'm going to work on the night. I'm going to change my shooting hand. It's never none of that. So I don't want to see none of this shit from Ben Simmons, all this Kardashian bullshit. It's all just trying to appease the fans who are easily duped by people who can put something on social media and say, this is what I do with my time. You ain't doing that with your time, bro. You had one session with Rajon Rondo. We've seen Ben Simmons before games, Ken. I've been in the stadium. I've seen it. Shoot 10 times and make like 5 of them. I'm like, yo, do that. Shoot one. You're in the corner. Shoot one. Game comes, he don't do none of that shit. So no one wants to hear anything from Ben Simmons anymore. Bro, the problem is you. You have a coddled mentality of, oh, if they don't want me to, you know, be me, I ain't gonna talk to nobody. And that's fine. You ain't gotta talk to nobody. But just understand why nobody views you in the light that you want to be viewed right now.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, he has a superstar mentality because everybody anointed him without superstar production of game on the court. You know, and that's the thing. Like, we went from talking about Ben Simmons, you know, and the league has, to talking about Ben Simmons damn near every day, every highlight. When he finally stepped on the court, to barely mention him at all. So now you want out of Philly because your coach called you out for being lazy and unwilling to play the game the way you need to play it. And when we talk about development, you know, we look at Embiid. Embiid is a perfect example. He came in and he changed Embiid. Embiid went from shooting threes and playing on the perimeter to being in the post dominating, MVP candidate, number one seed. Tobias Harris was putting in work. All-star, everybody almost was superstars in their role except freaking Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. If he was 40% of himself, they could have won that game. They could have won that series. But he wasn't. So now is the time to stop fucking looking at everybody else. And Ben Simmons is the guy that we need to have binoculars on, period. It's not Doc Rivers, because you know what's going to happen? You're going to bring in another coach, and you're going to have the same thing. You know, so it's not the name of the coach. It's the player. They can get rid of him and sign it and trade him to another team. He's going to do the same motherfucking thing because based on what your sources are telling you, he ain't got it. Mm-hmm. He ain't got that mentality, bro.
Because, Ken, it's always about the location for him. It's about the comfort level for him. He wants to be in a sunny location. He wants to be in a bigger city. If you're going to send Ben somewhere, Ben would love to be a Laker. He wouldn't mind being a Clipper. He wouldn't mind going to Golden State. Wouldn't mind being in Miami. He wouldn't mind being on the Knicks even. It's Philly. It's the middle of the country. It's all those teams that he don't want to be on. But, dude, that's like five teams. That's like four teams, dude, in the entire league that you want to be on. So, I get it. The brass of the organization chose Joel. It was very obvious that they chose Joel this season. They chose him as the crown jewel of the franchise. The problem is that I believe that we've fucked our window off. I believe that we have fucked up irreparably to the point where Joel's going to be a Celtic soon. He'll be a Laker in a couple years. He'll be a Clipper in a couple years. He's gone. Because I don't believe that we'll be ever able to recover from the fact that we did not sell Ben Simmons high. When we should have sold him. Now, if we get Dame, all bets are off. But I don't think we're going to get Dame. Because why would Portland want Dame? Unless we're doing a three-team trade, which is what Daryl Morey, I believe, is behind the scenes trying to orchestrate, which is why we're so quiet right now. They're trying to find a third team to get involved. And right now, that speculative trade right now is Golden State sending a bunch of their guys to Portland. Ben Simmons goes to Golden State and Dame goes to Philly. That's the trade that a lot of people in WIP radio think that Daryl Morey is doing behind the scenes, just trying to orchestrate. I don't see it happening. I don't see that materializing, because who wants a guy who is 6'10", who's been hyped up by every media machine possible? He's the next LeBron. If he just does the one thing in his personality he's averse to, he's the next LeBron. If he just changes the way that he's wired, I can imagine my little Highlander is a Ferrari all I want. That shit don't mean it is. So this is the situation. We have a guy who I don't believe is a bad player by any means. Defensive player of the year type candidate. But nobody is paying all that money. And no one is going to take on the salary. And no one is going to give the draft capital and the players that you want back for a 6'10 Tony Allen who can pass.
Right.
No one cares about that.
Yep. And, you know, the attitude about, oh, I'm not going to talk to anybody. You know, if I'm an organization, I don't think I like that because you shut down. Now, you know, Harden has elite talent. He can do that. He can act out.
Yeah.
Because he's going to go somewhere and he's going to ball out and you're going to see production. You know, with Ben Simmons, you know, when times get hard, you just shut down. Like, the thing about Harden is that he gave Houston everything. Ben Simmons hasn't given Philly everything to get to this point where he can pout, you know. So that's the thing that I will be looking at, like with Ben Simmons, like, bro, you're entitled over what, you know.
Like, yeah, so that, yeah. We should have known Ben when he couldn't lead LSU to any type of NCAA tournament standing that there was a problem.
I brought that up to FIFO. FIFO, you know, doing FIFO things, you know, criticized and pointed out some things that made sense at the time, but you know, I
1 point in the playoffs, couldn't lead LSU, passing up dunks, lying about his training, having your brother be your trainer one season, shit like this is inexcusable, and it makes people not fuck with you, Ben. So I gotta be real with you, dude. As a fan, I want you to go to another team and ball. I want you to go to where you want to go to, because I don't want to keep no player hostage. I don't want to be nowhere. I don't want anyone to be hostage in these leagues. Mm-hmm. So I want Ben to go do his thing. But just know, bruh, is that you will go very quick from being seen as like, damn, he can be in that LeBron KD tier to, yo, you're Draymond. Just know that's going to happen real quickly if you do not work on your game and change your attitude. You ain't done shit in this league, Ben. You ain't done shit in the league. But thinking that you're supposed to turn your nose up.
Draymond.
Real close. He might already be that.
Yeah, he may be, which is freaking crazy. But Draymond got chips. You know, and I think one of the things that I wanted to point out to Nick is that you have to be careful about shifting narratives that happen like this, because it's the media and it's agents that's feeding these reporters stuff in order to sway the conversation. So you want to, because him saying, hey, he's not talking to anybody in Philly, you know, he's not even returning to B, that's a really, really bad look on Ben. So if you can say, oh, that's not really it, people are lying, it's actually he just don't fuck with Doc Rivers. You know, so people, like, it may make it easier for teams to be willing to pick up that call or be willing to take him on, because the agents getting feedback and be like, hey, man, what's up with this attitude over here? So you got to shift that narrative to be like, oh, it's fuck. It's nah. It's Doc. Doc's really the problem.
It's Doc's the issue. Everyone, first of all, I'm not trying to disparage Paul George and Ben Simmons, but if this was a trial and the key witnesses were Paul George and Ben Simmons, I'm letting Doc Rivers walk. Because I don't trust Paul George and Ben Simmons' mental toughness and their aptitude for understanding what it takes to win anything. Look, we've gotten to the point where we disrespect Doc so much because of the help that he had in Boston that we're starting to underrate him. So let's not do this now where we do this thing where every time the pendulum swings one way, everyone has to, you know, he's not as good. Doc Rivers to me is like the eighth or ninth best coach in the NBA. You have to understand, as a Sixers fan coming from the poverty that was Brett Brown, that's like luxury to me. So I'm not going to look at Doc Rivers and be like, damn, the fact that you didn't make this adjustment for Furkan Korkmaz to leave the game. We didn't have nobody on the team to defend the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks were just better. As a Sixers fan, I'm not deluded into thinking that, oh, well, this is my team and I have fan brain and I don't care about facts. I only deal with facts. And I see the fact that the Hawks were the better team from jump. And I said it. The minute that we lost to the Wizards, I told Kyle, I kept telling you every day in the chat, Kyle, if you're watching, and Ken know, every time, I'm like, y'all going to beat us. Y'all going to beat us.
He did,
Ken,
y'all.
And Kyle was like, oh, well, man, I don't know. Trying to be humble and shit. I'm like, bro, y'all going to beat us. Y'all are a better team. You have more players who can put the ball on the floor. You have good size inside. You have a better coach. So when I look at the fact that everyone went to blame Doc Rivers for a substitution, and oh, well, no. Ben Simmons is the substitution that he's supposed to be making. It's not supposed to be relying on Furkan freaking Korkmaz and George Hill in crunch time. The fact that we can't look at the nigga making $180 million to come up and do something in crunch time besides Joel is insane. The fact that we can't look at the third guy making $120 million to do anything is insane. That is not Doc Rivers. That is roster construction, and that is Ben fucking Simmons. I ain't trying to hold it down with that topic, but damn, man.
Hey, DC, can you explain what do you mean when you say Doc is overrated? I see you say he's a good coach, but what do you mean he's overrated? Like, what are you seeing or what are you hearing that you disagree with to make that statement? Right. So, yeah, just let us know. I'm just curious. I'm just curious. Because I see people say that, so I'm just kind of trying to understand what the basis is for that analysis.
We got a super chat from Flavian Zero.
Yes.
You've seen the excerpts of J. Kidd and Giannis's book? I did see that.
I didn't see it. What was it?
So J. Kidd is talking about how he learned not to communicate to certain players certain ways. Like, he was very Bobby Knight-esque, trying to hold guys accountable and rub people the wrong way in Milwaukee. But I love the fact that in the book, he's in some of the interviews, Giannis didn't really know any better. So he loved it. And he was like, well, not loved it, but he enjoyed the being held accountable. Because Giannis been through real shit. Giannis, you know, been through real immigration. So it's like, hardship is no real, it's not foreign to him. You know what I mean? That's funny. That's a pun. But J. Kidd talks about it in the book, and he's like, you know, I learned how to, you know, talk to players, and Giannis was upset when I got fired. And I'm just thinking about, you know, coaching tactics. We just talked about Doc. J. Kidd is in Dallas now. Do you think that he's going to learn from that Giannis thing and talk to Luka a certain way now that he was on L.A. for a year and won the ring there? Do you think that he can talk to Luka, you know, hey, man, you got to lose weight, man. You got to lose weight. Is it that type of shit? Or is it, you know, well, you know, hey, man, to be the best player that you can be, you got to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably. I think if he's writing about it, I think he's had a chance to really kind of self-check himself, you know, about that whole situation. So I think he will. But, you know, it's kind of like you said, though, man, like when you have guys, foreign players that's been through real shit,
mm-hmm.
that type of stuff, like sometimes it don't even really bother them all that much, you know. So, you know, depending on their background, because, you know, it could have been a lot worse. So yeah, so that's interesting that, you know, he said that. So I do want to ask you about this, because it's kind of interesting, because I see, and you're one of the only ones that I see pointing it out, Luka's weight. You saying Luka is overweight, man, or out of shape. It's not being talked about.
His conditioning is fucking terrible. Like, I don't mean, excuse my language, but his conditioning is terrible. Like, when I look at the scrutiny in which we give James Harden for just having his body type, you know what I mean, for having that pop belly, everyone killed him. All right, fine. All right, cool. Luka comes into the season looking like he was on a fucking Krispy Kreme and Oreo diet all summer. And no one said nothing. No one said anything. He just got to play his way into it. He'll play his way into shape. But James Harden is, how can he do this? This is so disrespectful to the game. How, you know, like, it's just like, dude, let's just be consistent. They both have spotty conditioning at best. And at worst, they both don't give a damn about, you know, their diet, and they just kind of try to play it off, which is fine because they get the results that they want in the regular season. But the reason why, to me, Luka can't take that extra step in the postseason is because his conditioning is fucked up, along with the fact that they don't have a second star for him, along with that. But to me, guys like LeBron, guys like Harden, they've gotten past the first round because, you know, even in James' bad conditioning, I think his best season for conditioning was 2018 when he really put that work in. And you could see that he was taking them past the first round. He was able to do more on defense. And it's not a coincidence that Luka is not able to do certain things and be able to move certain ways on the court, because you look at his weight. It has to be addressed. Everyone talked about Zion. That was a whole topic every day.
Yep.
Every day, man. But Luka gets to come in and get $207 million unquestioned. Fine. Great. Love it. Get your money. But no one says, well, we need to see a little bit more improvement, and none of that. There's never any nicks in the armor, is what I'm saying, y'all. There's never a nick in the armor for certain people, and I just want it all to be addressed. That's all I want, is people to address the facts.
Yeah, you're 100% spot on. Like, it was a talking point on all the talk shows. Zion's weight. Zion can't stay healthy. Zion this. You know who else who has a weight and conditioning problem? Luka. You know, because ever since you said it, I started watching it just to observe it for myself. And Luka also can't stay healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So Luka's always getting hurt, but it rarely becomes a talking point for a lot of the media pundits, which is interesting because they talk about Luka a lot because they love Luka. So how do you avoid that? So I want to see, when is the criticism going to start for Luka Doncic? And if it doesn't, I'll say why not, but I think I already know the answer to that question. but you know, we'll see. We'll see. Shifting over to a little bit of football, man. How long you think Cam's going to hold on to his job?
Man, Cam got first four games. If Cam is not 3-1, it's over. If Cam is one and three, it's already done. If Cam is 2-2, he gonna make a decision. Belichick, I mean, he'll make a decision by the bye week. If somebody in chat could tell me when their bye week is, that would be perfect to know, because that might impact the decision even closer to now. But Cam holding on, he fighting for his life right now. But I'll tell you this though, fuck it. If y'all want to start Mac Jones, trade Cam to Indianapolis.
Yeah. Yeah, they need somebody right now.
They need Wentz down. They have to. Then what's he gonna do? Go get Philip Rivers from his 17 kids and nah, dude.
Come on. Said he gonna come back, man.
Man, they need to leave Philip Rivers' ass in the river wherever he at. I don't know. He's swimming or something now. On a yacht, whatever.
Up, oh, Steelers beat the Eagles. Dwayne Haskins 156 and a touchdown. I'm hearing good thing about things about Haskins in Pittsburgh.
I'm rooting for Dwayne Haskins.
Me too, man.
I'm rooting for him because they tried to play him like he was an idiot or something. Oh, he went to the Louis store with no mask on. Y'all, all these white folk out here with no mask on. Y'all don't say.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Bro, they tried to, oh, he went somewhere unvaccinated, and y'all be doing this shit. All y'all athletes be unvaccinated doing this shit, but Dwayne Haskins get caught up, and it's a fucking World War III. Come on, dog. And that's why I'm glad he's with Tomlin, because you got a nice coach, you got a black coach, somebody who's going to understand you, somebody who's going to be able to identify with you, who's coach Mike Vick, coach guys like Charlie Batch and whatnot, who's, you know, able to give guys the mechanics that they need to at least take their career to the next level beyond, beyond just being rotational dudes and, you know, camp bodies. I think that he'll be able to make Dwayne Haskins a staple of at least a backup in the NFL, because I think that he can win a couple games if Ben goes down, personally.
I think he can be a starter again, man. The guy has talent. He just got to work.
Yep.
And there's been plenty of reports about his ego, kind of RG3-ish a little bit, and stuff like that. But I think there's a lot of value in receiving coaching from a guy that looks like you, a guy that can, you know, sit down and break things down and speak to you in a very, very real way that, you know, a white person can't. You know, especially for black quarterbacks. And that's why we need more black NFL coaches to kind of help them manage through those situations, these hard times, to actually get a second shot. Mike, like, you look at what he did for Michael Vick.
Yeah.
You know, so that was dope. So hopefully he'll get over there just like, you know, and get a chance to kind of, just get that second chance, man, because Big Ben is on his last leg. Big Ben is probably going to get hurt. So that could easily be his job. I really wanted Jameis Winston to go there.
Same.
Yeah, but, you know, I think Haskins, you know, is, you know, a good alternative. But
I would love for Deshaun Watson to go to.
Oh, yeah, man, personally, bro.
Personally, but that's just me.
Yeah. Back to Cam. I don't know if you saw it, but They said that the Patriots bye week is in week four.
Week 14 is what
14. So appreciate that, Connor Pearson Ward.
So 14, if their bye week is week 14, then I think that definitely by week six, they're gonna make a decision.
I was just on Bleacher Report just looking to see if there were any other headlines worth talking about. They said Mac Jones got not a standing ovation, but a warm welcome when he checked in the game. Stop. It's over for Cam. Boston, you know, don't want a black. They don't want black Cam there, bro.
That nigga out of there.
Yeah, it's over for Cam, man. It's a wrap, man. I'm telling you. I know they've had a few black quarterbacks. I think they had the Brissett for a game or two. You know, I don't know if they had one for a whole season, but man, yeah, it's a wrap. He done. Damn. He done.
Damn, he finna have a review. Well, maybe Cam can, you know, get some money dancing with Robert Kraft and shit, but it's fine. I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting because if Mac Jones is not – what number is Mac Jones? Is he 50?
10.
Okay.
He's wearing number 10.
Okay. I keep seeing him wearing 50 jerseys and shit. I'm like, yo, is he wearing that? That's disgusting. But, yeah, man, week 14, this is going to happen by week 6 probably, man. I hate it. They go –
I'm going four. I think four, bro.
Damn. I just want him to get to Indianapolis at least, man. Give him that chance. Let him go to Indy. Maybe let him go – Where else can Cam go right now? I'm trying to think where else he could start. Where else could Cam go? Don't do
retirement.
That, do not do that. Don't do Cam. Don't do that. We gotta do that. Where can Cam go to start right now? Shit might be in the Giants. If I'm being real. Shout out to Nick. Yeah, talk about Danny Dimes. Talking about everybody else players and shit.
Reggie, you spot on, man. His hair is way too unorganized for him to be the quarterback of the goddamn Boston of the Patriots.
Oh my God, this is.
That Boston don't want them naughty dreads leading their team. You are 100% right, Lord. Bro.
Lord. That's like when Paul Mooney was like, when your hair is nappy, white people are not happy.
Yep, that super chat by Tracy G ran
Shout
up
out
on
Tracy.
Me. Yeah, the first one was about Metro. I'm going to see if I can – hold on. It moved up on me. I can't see it. Hold on. Oh shit, it disappeared.
Tracy said Metro says he wants to be a head coach. Can that happen for him?
Who's Metro?
Tracy, let us know who Metro is. And also the second one, we can answer that second one now. Tracy says, did Leprechaun Kawhi rob the Clippers with his contract extension? No. The owner is robbing America by making motherfuckers subsidize that bullshit Microsoft shit. That's who's getting robbed, motherfuckers. No, but also, Kawhi got his money, so I ain't mad at him. But his knees are done, like we were saying earlier, if you didn't hear. We were talking about his health and whatnot. Hopefully, Kawhi's knees can come back to some form, because he had great series against Dallas, man, but don't see it. I think that he had to get his money now and play it smart.
I give Kawhi a lot of shit, but he was balling. He was balling in the playoffs, man. Like his series against the Dallas Mavericks, people do not talk about what this man did during that stretch when them bros, when they were down 2-0. This man was unbelievable, and so was Paul George. And all they wanted to talk about was Luka Doncic. This man got freaking busy. But to answer your question, Q makes a very valid point about the owner. The owner got it. But, yes, he did rob the Clippers for that money because Kawhi no good and goddamn well. Them damn knees are done. So he's just getting his check, and he's going to put that money in his bank, and he's probably going to play 2 years, and that's it. Two full seasons, I think, is what he's going to get. But you know what? I'm not mad at it, though. He got his ring. The Leprechaun champ, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, shit.
Meta World Peace. So she said Meta World Peace. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. So Meta World, oh shit. She said Meta World Peace wants to coach Ron Artest? Man.
Watch that Malice in the Palace doc.
Yeah, I gotta watch that. It's great. That would be fascinating. And
I think he could do it.
I think he could do it too. I think people sleep on Ron Artest, man. Like, you know, that title, that he won that title for Kobe.
Look, you know, I don't want to. We don't have to.
We got it, man. Like, hey, Kobe was here when these things were said.
Rest yes. easily to the young guy. But at the end of the day, I was saying for years, if Ray Allen saved LeBron, then who is Metal World Peace? Who is that? Who is that then? Like, if that's who Ray Allen, if he's the savior for LeBron, then, bruh, I can see it. I can see Metal World Peace, man. I can see him, like, really getting through to guys like Zion and getting through to guys like Brandon Ingram and shit. He needs to be the type of coach. That's why I said, I'm so glad that the league is starting to catch up with where the players' minds are, because guys have been saying guys like Metal World Peace need to be coaches. Chauncey needs to be a coach. Penny Hardaway, I've been pushing Penny for the last 3 years. He needs to be a coach in the NBA. Penny Hardaway should have been the Brooklyn Nets coach over Steve Nash, in my opinion, because he knows more about basketball and he's coached more basketball than Steve Nash's coach. And I think that you look at guys like Metal World Peace, they come in with not only three levels of knowledge, that they have life knowledge, they have the business knowledge, and they got the sports knowledge. So this nigga was from Queensbridge. He done fought motherfuckers in the arena. He done won a championship, made some money outside of the shit, and rapped. Like, what else do you want in the head coach? This shit is crazy. You need to go get Metal World Peace. He needs to be. I'm endorsing that, Tracy. He needs to go somewhere. I'll take him in Philly right now.
Yeah, I love the idea of these ex-players becoming coaches. And I don't know what, you know, ushered in this wave of black coaches being picked by the NBA, but I'm all here for it. I think, you know, there was a time where there was a lot of talk about the NBA players not speaking up for black coaches and saying that they should be, you know, pushing for it since they're all about equality and Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. And I think you have to applaud the NBA for not just talking about it, but reacting and taking action. So, but I think bringing in these players, man, that have played the game, that want to coach, giving them a chance. And if they fail, they fail. And then you just go find somebody else like you do with every other retread out there. So it just makes freaking sense for guys that have played the game. Some of these guys even won freaking titles. Like, they have all of that knowledge to teach on people. So I think he will be a great hire along with any other ex player that wants to actually coach. So I think they should do it. And the fact that these guys can't even, you know, get jobs, you know, is sick by the NBA. Right. And they need to fix that.
And Ken, who else would be a better liaison for mental health in the NBA as a coach? Mm-hmm. To actually deal with players, teach them about anxiety, depression, and all this shit that we talk about as buzzwords and shit. But Metal World Peace actually knows about this. Like, Ron Artest actually knows what it is to deal with that anger or deal with, you know, that despair as an athlete. And that matters to the people putting on the jerseys. It's deeper than the product. And I think that we're going to get to a point in sports where the coach got to be as much of a psychologist as they are a sports mind. They have to be as much of a therapist for players, because, yeah, we are getting to the point in I guess you could say, human life on this earth where it's deeper than just put points on the board and go home. It's, I got to feel comfortable in this organization. I got to walk into this building every day. And if I don't feel comfortable, if I'm anxious or if I'm depressed about something, or if I'm dealing with shit outside of the game that's fucking up my game on the court, what do you think you want to hear? Stan Van Gundy here, you need to play the game like this, play the game. Or do you want to hear Metal World Peace? Hey, bro, what's up, man? Talk to me. Let's sit down. Let's go to the office. You can talk to me after practice. What's up? Like, you know, you're not playing the best. What's good? Versus, you know, guys like Doc Rivers, you know, Ben, what's up? Talk to me. versus the white coaches who just want to be, hey, you need to get the X's and O's. And like, you know, once they hear that shit all the time, sometimes we want to be a fucking human. And I think that's what Metal World Peace understands about the game.
Yeah. And I love that we're seeing athletes, even though I gave Simone Biles some shit, not really that much, but I love to see them taking ownership of that back, ownership of that, and taking that back from us. You know, like, we're trying to dictate, you know, what and how these athletes should respond to turbulence in their lives one way or the other. So, but I love that they're saying, look, like, the fact that I'm able to actually get out here and perform and put in the time and effort for all of this stuff, you know, is a lot. And if I can't perform at a high level, why should I get out there and do double, flipple, triple, quadruple flips, you know, just for your performance? And then if I fuck the shit up, then you're going to talk about that shit.
Yep.
So it's a no win situation for me, you know? So I like that DeMar and Metal World Peace and all these other guys, you know, I'm leaving Kevin Love out of this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but
we got to see all these other guys.
Kevin Love just getting away with a bunch of shit. But the last Onyx super chat, appreciate it, bro. Is Steve Nash on the hot seat if they don't win next year? I don't think they will be, because Kyrie came out there and said that they don't need a coach anyway. And they don't even look at him as a damn coach.
And Kyrie didn't lie. Kyrie did not lie. And the media tried to call him fucking insane. Oh, you say the Kyrie be saying this shit that sometimes, yeah, it's a little out there sometimes. But then there'll be the times where, why are y'all mad at that? That's the truth. They don't need Steve Nash. These players are to a point where once you get third championship appearance, fourth championship appearance, once you start getting second championship appearance like Kyrie, you get MVPs like James Harden and all these guys have been besides Kyrie, you get to a level where you all can kind of organize the game and think the game for yourselves. It's just the coach is the auxiliary piece off the court to watch it from third person. All right, well, I'm not in the game, so here's what I would think should happen, and that's what coaching is. But to me, Kyrie didn't lie, and to answer the super chat directly, I could see them moving on immediately if they underwhelm severely. That's what I mean. If they end up like on some,
oh yeah,
you know, like Ken, if it's fuck it, let's say if it's like give me an eighth seed that would happen. Give me like Indiana or something, right? Let's say that they lost to Indiana in game 7, or they lost to Indiana in game 6 or something that's just astronomical that happens. I think they would get Steve Nash up out of there. If it's the Eastern Conference Finals and they're dealing with knick-knack injuries and, you know, KD is having a great game and Kyrie's not there or James Harden is there again and it's I think that they'll give him one more season to do it, but they're definitely not going to let him run his back 3 straight times and not get to the championship. You have to get there this year.
Yeah, Sebastian Pierre said the Nets role players need to coach. Well, he didn't do a good job of coaching. What's that white boy that kept missing every damn three?
What's his name?
Joe something?
Joe Harris. Yeah,
Joe Harris. You know, it's something about these white shooters. Like, when they get in the playoffs, they just can't make shit. Kyle Korver, I don't know if you remember, was notorious for this. He would make, and J.J. Redick too, but Kyle Korver was the worst. Like, when he was playing with LeBron, man, he was lights out during the regular season. Mm-hmm. But the playoffs come, he could not make a bucket. Tracy G said that exactly. Meta did a brief analysis on Ben Simmons. And he said his biggest issue is mentally, and that's fixable. Thank you for the super chat. So, question though, who was hired first, Steve Nash, or did they get all the pieces first and then brought Steve Nash in?
Mm-hmm. I think Steve Nash was brought in first.
Because I think that would factor into whether or not they would be quick to get rid of him. Like if they brought Steve Nash in just to coach like pieces that, or just a team that they had, then their vision or goal was to give him 4 or whatever, how many years the contract was. But then I think the game changed when you get Kyrie, Harden, and KD.
It's results time, you know?
Yeah. So they may give him some leeway because they've been like, oh, well, you know, this ain't the team that, you know, you were hired to coach. Mm-hmm. But if you can coach all these other guys, then you should definitely be able to win something with this. It was another point I wanted to mention during the ex-players NBA coach. That was something that LeBron always pointed out when he got a coach, was that they always got him coaches that never played the game. He wanted somebody that played the game that he could kind of look up to and respect. So I'm pretty sure
how you gonna go to war with somebody who ain't never been in the trenches? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, that's real.
It's not too many topics left. Let's just wind it down like three more, and let's get some more super chats in. Y'all keep sending those in.
Yep. Let me see. I don't think I got anything else. Let's see.
I had like two topics. If you wanted to,
okay, what you got?
So I'm thinking about Dame. I want to know everyone's opinions, especially in the chat. What do you think is going to happen with Dame, man? Do we finally get a trade here because of what Portland was not able to do in the offseason? Or, you know, because he's posting all this stuff on Instagram and let the fools who think they're fooling you think, like, he keeps saying something, like, it was a meme like that, like, play the fools so the fools who think that they're fooling you keep fooling, like, something like
oh,
that.
So he's kind of rapping and shit.
Yeah, he doing his thing. He released his music video and shit now. Like, all right, Dame, you about it here now. In my opinion, I think Dame does not get traded to Sixers, but I think he does get traded somewhere. I just don't know where. Maybe New Orleans, maybe Golden State. It just seemed like something that would happen. It just seems like we would wake up one day, and in the middle of the day, we would get that alert. Dame Lillard has been traded to the Warriors for James Wiseman, Andrew Wiggins, and I just see it now happening. What is the chat thing, and what you think, Ken?
I would love to see Dame in Philly, man. My God, that shit would be unfucking fair. Yeah. Like, one of the clutchest players in NBA history with Embiid. So that force down low and this guy on the perimeter, man, lethal. I think he will be gone. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely with RJ Brown. CJ got to get out of there.
Yep.
But what difference would it make? And I think that's the biggest problem. Like, when I see Dame saying all this shit, like he was talking about, oh, I guarantee I won't be in LA. No shit, Sherlock. Because they got fucking Westbrook now. So that's easy. But I think about Shakespeare, and, you know, it always pops in my head. He protests too much, methinks. And every time somebody just keeps hammering and belaboring a point, that shit pops in my head. I'm like, okay, who are you trying to convince? Yourself or I? You know, so my father-in-law said there's two things. There's the truth, and then there's what you want to hear. You know, and he said there's two answers to any question. There's the truth, and there's what you want to hear. Now, you could tell somebody the truth, but sometimes they don't accept the truth. So you would turn around and tell them what they want to hear, and that satisfies them. But how does that help anybody? And one of the examples he gave was like, yo, like, you know, somebody comes and say, hey, man, why don't you go down to the spot? Blah, 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 blah. Let's get a couple of drinks. And he'd be like, nah, I got some stuff to handle. Ah, man, you can take a few minutes and come drink. You're like, all right, I'll meet you there, and never show up. Because he told you the truth, you didn't want to hear it. So he told you what he wanted to hear, and he did the fucking truth. So the thing with Dame is exactly is that sort of situation. Like, so I think at some point, they're going to get his ass out of there. And RJ, him in Miami would be nice, but I don't know if they have the assets to get him.
Mm-hmm. They have to get him up out of there, man. But I don't know if it's going to be this season. It might be next season or deadline. Imagine they move Dame at the deadline. You would get everyone's best offer. I think that Portland should do that as a fire sale. Personally, I think
they got to.
It just makes too much sense for them to do it in
the sell deadline. High. It's like you said about Ben Simmons. Sell high.
Yep. Because Dame is 30, 31 now. 31. It's one of those two. So if he's one of those two, you don't have that many years left being this clutch with getting this much elevation on your shot. You don't have that many years left being able to affect the game the way that he's doing it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it is what it is. So yeah. shout out to the guys in the back. Shout out to the guys. But you know what I mean?
Hey, yeah, that's three piece set, man. Y'all check them out wherever you listen to your podcast, man. They there. Check them out.
Shout out.
They talk movie, music, and TV shows. They do recaps and shit like that.
That's all.
So real cool brothers, man. Cool brothers.
That's all.
But yeah, man. Yeah, like and Dame. Like I feel Dame brought a lot of this shit on himself. You know, Dead in Sports. We've definitely pushed and promoted and Dame as being a guy. We have a whole episode called The Dame. Lillard disrespect. Just look for that title. But Dame always, he was on that tip about, man, I'm not going to leave. I want to stay here, blah, blah, blah. And then get his ass kicked every goddamn time. And now he's getting to the point where now he's starting to feel and think differently. Like, you're looking at Giannis hoist up a title. You're looking at next year, fucking damn, look, this fool going to come win at the end of the goddamn nigga, show.
It's over, Sheldon. It's over, nigga.
You look at KD, Kyrie, and Harden may end up getting one next year. Yeah. Westbrook may end up getting one next year. LeBron and AD may get another title. You know, so but Dame wants to be loyal. Fuck that shit, bro. That shit's overrated.
It's so lame to me, man. To be the comments in Instagram. I'm gonna show y'all. It's like, who gives
a You're not gonna show anything. Look, that shit was cute for Giannis. But let's be fucking real. Giannis got lucky as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, we got to be fucking honest, man. Anybody that won the title would have gotten lucky as fuck last year. Yeah. But Giannis in particular, because Giannis was on that tip, like, no, I'm going to stay in Milwaukee, fucking super teams, and I don't need to do all that. Bro, you got lucky. Great. You know, and that's great. You got your title. You proved a lot of naysayers wrong.
It's like,
but,
James Harden gone. James Harden was out.
Yeah.
Ron out. AD out.
Can Dame get that lucky? You know, because that's the only way he's going to win a title. He got to get fucking lucky. Everybody got to get hurt in the fucking Western Conference and the Eastern Conference.
Bro, we saw Dame go up against the Warriors when KD was out. Remember that playoff series? They were up every game going into halftime. Stephen was chilling all every game. They'll be up by like 16, 17 every game. And Portland fans was like, oh, this team can finally do it. You know what I mean? And I was rooting for them to get like one or two games. I didn't think they got swept in that series. And KD didn't even come back. So it's like, dang, bro, I get it. You want to be riding with them. I don't know. The white folks in Portland, they must love him. But whatever they're doing in Portland to keep him there, they must keep doing it. They want him to stay. But Dame, you Beans, gotta go, bro.
Beans from the East. That's what I was saying. Maybe Dame can get lucky. And if he gets lucky, great. I want Dame to win a title. But shit, Kawhi got lucky. Dame got lucky. It can easily happen. We've seen it happen all the time. But
I don't think it can in Portland. There's no way. The only way it sounded good until this year. Giannis winning the championship and getting lucky like he did, it kind of changed Dame's thought process. It's only one champion every year. And I don't think that everybody goes into it thinking they really have a realistic shot. So sometimes you want to be the king of your hill. And that's your plateau. You can hope for a championship, but more than anything, you want to be recognized as the greatest in your city, in your team, in your place. Mm-hmm. But once Giannis won it, it's like, wait a minute. You can win it without this. And it'll force his hand a little bit to try to make a move to win a championship.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I would just think that Dame's thought process is more focused on just outside noise, bro. It just seemed like he's too focused on the narrative that's being driven about loyalty or you go get the chip. And I think that you just got to sometimes just be free of all the narratives and all the bullshit, bro. If you are actually trying to make a decision for your life or your family or your career, Dame, fuck what they talking about. Go get not only your money, if that's what you need, go get it if it's in Portland. But if that's not your motivation and you want to win, you got to be real with yourself and start to have that conversation. Be like, damn, bro, Robert Covington really is like our third best player. Like, damn, dude, like, CJ is really, like, our second best player. Damn, bro. Right. Like, bro, Nurkic is really, like, our fourth best guy. Zach Collins is hurt every year.
I think he hurt now.
They just signed Norman Powell. Like, why? Like, they basically signed, they signed, like, the grown-up version of Gary Trent Jr. And it's like, and it's like, bro, like, what was the purpose of signing Gary Trent Jr. again? You basically traded Gary Trent for Norman Powell, who is Gary Trent.
Right.
The only thing I can think of on that, though, Q, is and you're right. I agree with you 100%. Is that they were maybe thinking, well, he's won a championship, so he can bring that championship moxie to our team, and he'll give us a boost to kind of help with Dame's mindset.
Yeah,
because you got to do something. And those small market teams are at a disadvantage because you're not going to attract some of the top tier talent. The best thing you can hope for as a small market team is to draft talent and keep them at home. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the only thing you can hope for, or hit big on one of the ones like Milwaukee did with Giannis, and you can get a couple key pieces to come in and play with a player like that. Because you're not going to sign a top tier free agent. You don't have a chance any year at that. So every year you're hoping for, when you talk about getting lucky, A, you got to hope that their stars go down. B, you got to hope that you get hit on one of these draft picks. And a lot of them are too far in the middle to do so. You look at the Hawks for years, they were making the playoffs every year but couldn't get out the first round. So they were in that little albatross area to where they couldn't sign anybody. They couldn't get out of the first round to get a – I mean, they couldn't get a high draft pick. They were just stuck. So you really couldn't do much of anything but that.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually glad you brought up the mention of Bucks, because I think low-key, man, it may sound crazy, but I think the Bucks traded for Grayson Allen was such a shrewd move, man.
It was.
It's a great move. Man,
and nobody's really talking about it like that.
Yep.
But that, well, we did talk a lot about the Bucks didn't have a lot of shooting last year.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Grayson Allen, one thing we know, he can shoot that damn ball now. Mm-hmm. And he's athletic and can get to the rim.
He brings
that white male malice, and they need that in Milwaukee, man. They need that Christian Laettner shit in Milwaukee, dog. Like, cause and him and Bobby Portis, y'all gonna get fucked up in the paint. Keep on playing. Man. Him and Bobby Portis together, it's damn near goon squad.
They gonna whoop a lot of ass. Bobby Porter, you know, he punched somebody. Grayson Allen be tripping people on the court
They're gonna be riding on the fools this season.
Yep. It's gonna be rough.
Yeah,
hey, we got a couple of super chats in.
Yeah,
Oblivion Radio. What's up, Oblivion? He said, "I want Dame to go to the Warriors. I know that it'll never happen, but it'll work. I mean, look at Brooklyn." I think that would be unfair. I think it would be. I was gonna say I know it will work, you know, because I think those guys will blend well together, and teams will be in trouble. You can't. Who are you gonna stop?
Mm-hmm.
Pick your poison. Yeah. So there'll be one to get 41 night, the other one get 20, and then reverse the next night. Sure. So that you can't really do nothing about that.
They like might all average 30.
Right. Correct. We got another super chat from the last Onyx. He said Bucks over Blazers simply because of the front office.
Mm.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
As well as what Q said, you know, your second – we ain't going to talk about the top stars. We just talking about the second, third, and fourth player on that team. The Bucks have better players. They got a better squad, but it is because of the front office, because they put the right pieces in place.
Yeah.
Because Drew Holiday there for Eric Bledsoe was a steal. That was tremendous to me. Because
I thought that Giannis, if he wanted to stay small market, I thought he would have went to Portland if he wanted to do some shit like that. Like, personally, from me, I thought that if he wanted to go that route, then be unorthodox and sign the big deal in a small market then. You know what I mean?
I think
somewhere else, though, to win. But
right, yeah. I was going to say it. Even more so than the small market type thing, I think it was more about staying home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They showed him love when he first came to the States, so I get it.
Right.
It's a deeper appreciation. Plus, and, you know, he Greek too. Greek, Italian type folks, they be really loyal, man, if you show them any type of support. And when they ain't got shit, they always ride with you.
And that seems to be a comfortable place for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't talk enough about the pressure other big cities. Like, it's pressure to play in L.A. That's a pressure.
It's pressure to live in those cities. Like, not even just be there, but nigga, like, ew, you ever been in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
You realize how anxiety-inducing that can be when you not, like, you don't know where you at or you don't really,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially if you the face everywhere you look in L.A., like, oh, the skyline is you. So Kobe had to have a mental lock and key to be able to play there. If you look at guys like, you know, playing in New York City, playing in Brooklyn, it ain't the same as playing in the Knicks and playing like Julius Randle. Knicks fans were killing Julius Randle against the Hawks. Yep,
they sure were.
Killing him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bum. Get him the fuck out of here. Don't pay him. Don't hit him. Don't play that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Versus, you know what I mean, other guys like Giannis, when they're in there, they're just happy. Man, we love you, Giannis. Right. Thank you for being in this uniform. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so great. We love when you dunk.
Right.
Versus, man, get him the fuck out of here. The minute he makes a mistake in one of these big markets, damn. Why can't he be like that?
You're right. And you could see that these years, Q, leading up to this point. Because he was able to do, you know, until this year, Giannis took a beating outside of the city. But he was shielded in Milwaukee. I don't think none of them was hammering him like they were, like, in these other places. Like, Giannis took a beating. All these Giannis fans came up out of nowhere as Giannis supporters. But folks was killing Giannis up until the playoffs. Like, this dude ain't going to be able to do it again. Mm-hmm. Everybody said that. Mm-hmm. But like you said, he was insulated in that city. Mm-hmm. And I think that whether he won or lost, if he got put out in the first round, Milwaukee still would – he would still be their favorite son.
Mm-hmm.
So that, therefore, easier.
Tracy G sent us a super chat. Real talk, I wanted truly KD to go to Portland when he left Warriors. They would have gotten a chip for real, for real. And
oh, hell yeah.
Second one, mm-hmm. She sent in LaMarcus, also from Tracy G super chat. LaMarcus said he got a positive consult and could come back probably to play, yeah. And he would be interested with going back to Portland. I don't want to see Dame in Philly.
I don't want to see him in Philly either. The man got no heart.
LaMarcus Aldridge. She said she don't want to see Dame though. But LaMarcus, man, stay on the couch, bro. Cause I'm not trying to see no man put his life in danger for the
basketball
game, dude.
I'll never forget. I think it's even on this show, man, when he and Dame were playing. I remember telling FIFA, I was like, man, LA ain't it, bro. I said he ain't got it, man. Like he puts up numbers, man, but he's soft. He's soft, and every time it would freaking happen, mm-hmm. I was like, man, he ain't got what it takes, bro.
Mm-hmm. Dame
was the one.
He always looked like he was mad that Dame got the ball. I'm like, damn, bro. Yeah. Didn't you ever see him like when he played? He always looked like if Dame got the ball three straight times, he would come down the court like, man, I ain't trying to play with these niggas no more. It's like, dog, you were there with Brandon Roy. I get it. That's cool. Mm. You were there with Wes Matthews was a rookie. That's cool. It ain't your team no more, fam. You 28, 29, pushing free agency. Just ride it out with this young cat. And he didn't want to ride it out. So, I mean, you see what happened in San Antonio. Him and Pop didn't
get along. Thing about it is that it's not like the young cat was just jacking up stuff and missing.
He was hitting
game winners, bro. He was sending people home.
Like, hitting that shit, bro. He was hitting that shit. And then LaMarcus wants to have all his attitude, like, well, you know, I want to go be my own man. And then he got his crown taken in San Antonio when Kawhi was becoming a man. It's like, bro, no, everywhere you go, it might just be a message to you, brother, that you might be the second link. You might be the second in the chain. Like, you gotta be aware of your talent level as an athlete, bro. I get it. Certain guys want to, you know, push the envelope and think that I can be a first option here. Sometimes you ain't, bro. You just got to be that guy to ride it out with Batman. You know what I mean?
Yeah. DiVincenzo coming back. That is going to be a big piece for them. So, man, yeah, the Bucks made smart, smart moves to add to a championship team, bro.
Correct.
And I love all the moves they made. Mm-hmm. Yeah, solid.
So for the last topic of the night, y'all keep sending in super chats. But for the last topic of the night, since we got a football special coming up, I'm pretty sure when y'all start ranking coaches and ranking players and whatnot when that happens, let's discuss Hard Knocks. Mm. So Sheldon, you thinking that this would be a bounce back year for Zeke and them, or you think that Hard Knocks is going to showcase their downfall?
It really all depends on Dak's arm. He's still not all the way back. I think they're saying that he's doing some light work now. As a matter of fact, he's on the screen right now as I'm talking about him. Mm-hmm. But Zeke looks good, and I watched Hard Knocks, and I've been watching him in some of these practices. He's looked good this whole time, so I think that Zeke is ready to play. I think he got a little chip on his shoulder, so it's going to be good to see. It's just a matter of how Dak can hold up, because Dak is pressing. He's chomping at the bit to get out there, and that's not always – it's a good thing, but when you're coming back from injury, sometimes you can push yourself a little too hard and cause more harm than good, and I'm just hoping that that don't happen to him. I want to at least see him throughout the season and see what he can do. But I think teams on Hard Knocks don't fare well. Mm. But I'm glad that they're on Hard Knocks, put it that way, because I'm really wanting to see this thing unfold with the Cowboys this year. So I'm glad that they're the team that's on there.
How about you, Ken?
I don't watch Hard Knocks, but I do think that based on what I'm hearing, that Zeke is ready. You know, I thought you were gonna say he got a little skip on his shoulder, Shelton, because you know Skip been going at him for a minute, so he got something to prove. But I want Dak to do well. I would love to see him succeed. I think it's needed. You know, I know that people that watch the show and follow the show for a minute, you know, I've been critical of Dak, or not critical. I just didn't think he was top 10 when people were saying he was top 10. I didn't care about the money. He should get paid however he want to get paid. I don't care about people's contracts. That stuff don't interest me because it's not mine. So I don't care what people get paid because I can't spend the shit. So it don't bother me. And I'm not giving it to him either. But I was a fan of Dak, man, when he played at Mississippi State University.
Me too.
Yeah. So I've been following this man since college, and he was the one that made that team special. So mm-hmm. I was happy when Romo got hurt, but when he got a chance to play, and I was glad that they didn't bench him. So I'm always rooting for Dak, but I'm not going to overrate Dak. You know, I want Dak to get better and be better, and I would be more than happy and fine if he won a Super Bowl. But he got paid, man, and he's going to have to own that, because – if he don't, a lot of people going to come for his head.
Mm-hmm. Quickly.
I'm interested to see it. I think that they can win the division this year. It's just all, to me, depends on the O-line play beyond Dak. Because the O-line play has always been suspect in pass coverage. And run blocking, they've always been fantastic. The last couple of years, it's on both sides of that equation. They've been kind of shaky. But still, the run blocking has been better than the pass protection. So I got to see what they are able to do with Landon Collins coming back and just, you know, the additions on the defensive side of the ball with, I forget what the name of the rookie that they drafted, but I know that he ran a pretty good 40, has really good motor. So I'm actually, as an Eagles fan, I'm not hating on the Cowboys. I think that they have a really good roster this year. I just don't know if it's all going to come together under Mike McCarthy. I think he's the issue. I think that Mike McCarthy – and also, we're going to bring in the super chat here, also the bridge of this with that. Somebody said you saw Skip fat shaming Mike McCarthy and Jenny coming for him. I saw that.
Skip Samuels. That's funny.
Yeah, Skip Kevin Samuels or something. That's funny. but no, I definitely think that Mike McCarthy is not the guy, man. You see that speech he put on Sheldon. We got to be good. We got to do things that get us to the place where we want to be. You hear me? We have to get a ring. And a ring is going to be gotten by doing work. It's hard work that gets the – like, no, that, what the fuck is that? What?
That's what he was saying?
Yeah, bro. Like, just saying shit like just empty platitudes, like – you get to where you want to be by moving. What? Like, what?
You know how long they've been hearing stuff like that? These athletes have been hearing that same thing over and over again. You know, I did. So we shared that clip in our Dennis Sports group text chat. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, that was a beautiful moment. Skip better be careful. Now, I know Skip is a white man, so he probably has a little bit more power of a white woman. Yeah. But, bro, when she was mad, and I don't know if people got a chance to watch it all the way to the end, but she was like, I get to have an opinion. So she went Karen on him. I get to have an opinion. And yeah. then she said, and we'll be back. And she said, maybe I'll get to talk or something like that.
Maybe I'll have more to say. That's
yeah, maybe I have more to say. I was like, oh, shit, she is hot. And her face was all frowned up. I was like, she hot. Skip about to get it.
Yeah, Skip was hot too, though, because Shannon Sharp was like, come on, y'all, we a team. And Skip was like, no. He was like, no.
No. Yeah, that's
just no in certain terms. Man. I said I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall during that TV timeout. I would have loved to have been there.
I can hear it right now.
Yep, me
she
too.
She told me that I can't say anything. No, I can hear that.
Oh my goodness.
Who do you think you are? This is my show. This is my show. I can hear that right now. I can hear it right now, bro. I'm trying to tell y'all.
But Shannon looked so uncomfortable.
Shannon was like, come on, y'all. Not this white nonsense.
Shannon was cracking up. Shannon loved every bit of it.
He did.
Bro, Shannon been waiting for Skip to get his, bro. He waiting for somebody to call Skip out on that bullshit. Be like, hey, bro, you know, we keep on talking to Jenny like that, man. It's not going to happen like that no more. But that shit was hilarious. And I know that Shannon had to be calling some other people to FaceTime people. Hey, man, you got to listen to these niggas arguing right now.
Actually, Shannon got called out on Twitter, man. He had to respond to a lot of people. They called him out for talking about the same three topics over and over again. And they tried to talk about football. And he was saying something about Messi and Ronaldo or something like that. I don't know him like that. Mm-hmm. But man, they came after his neck on Twitter.
They got smooth off him. Like, bro, it was, who do you think? You can never speak on these sports. You played football. It's like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, and you see how it is the moment that you want to do something different. But yeah, man.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. We people complain about it. He tried to do something different, and then y'all hate that because he got some shit right. So anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got super chat. You go ahead, sir.
No, you good. Well, I do it. Drink more water. What's happening, man? Came late today. Have you guys talked about Jason Kidd and the reports that came out about his hard coaching tactics, like having practice on Christmas Eve that made Larry Sanders quit?
I forgot that detail, but yeah.
So I didn't know he did that. Damn, Larry. You value what, Christmas Larry? Eve that much, bro?
Man, Larry was talking anyway.
I'm going to make yams, y'all. I'm not doing this shit no more. I can't, like, this nigga tripping, bro. Like, bro, that's crazy. Like, come on, bro.
Dang, a pagan holiday.
My mama got the ham in the oven right now, y'all. I'm not doing this shit. Coach, I'm done. Like, what? You left the NBA for grandmama's mac and cheese. All right.
Yeah.
All right, now. Opening presents. Man.
That's crazy. It wouldn't be no
problem. We did talk about it earlier. Drink more water. I didn't see the excerpts and stuff like that. But I think one of the things we talked about was just like just the transition, man, and coaching tactics and how they're changing. You can probably go back and catch that part. I don't know if you had any comments on it, Shelton, because you weren't here when we talked about it.
I didn't even know that part. I didn't even see it.
Yeah, it was basically a bunch of abuse.
I mean, once again, like I said, I think that this said it earlier, keep saying that this generation is a little different than most. And that's probably how Kid and others were raised. You know, you worked hard and you worked hard at all times for your craft because it's a blessing to be there. This new generation is soft all the way around 100%. And everything. Yeah. So, he probably ain't even that bad. They probably making it worse than it even is. Running suicide. Oh, we ran some suicides. So, they made it awful. So, yeah, that's trash.
I feel that. Yeah. I won't contest that this week, but that's a good opinion. But yeah, y'all. If we got anything else, that'd probably close us.
I don't. Beans from the East 410. FIFO actually got caught in standstill traffic on 285. He sent me a picture. So he had moved 100 feet in between topics. So that's how bad it was. So Waze was telling him that he would have made it to the studio about 11 o'clock. So, yeah. So it really was no point for him to even come this way.
It's all good. We ain't mad at FIFO. We know he got to work on his playlist. So.
Yep. We held it down.
But if that's not, if that's going to do it this week, Dead in Sports, you feel me? August 12th, we going to be back on Tuesday. Keep sending in super chats. Keep suggesting new topics. Keep suggesting, you know what I mean, whether it be segments, things like that. We going to add in new shows, and we got some other stuff coming for y'all as well. We going to add in different schedule. We got seasonal shows like MLB and stuff coming, hopefully. So we're going to talk more about that in the future, y'all. So just keep it locked here, Dead in Sports. You know what it is.
Yep, for real. Right. So excited about the future possibilities. I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. So that's going to do it for us. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.